right, let's get started. I'm going to start with a question. Have you guys ever tried, I did this when I was your age, have you guys ever tried to convince your parents, I need this thing or I need that thing? Have you ever tried to do that?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Yes. See, when I was your age, I did that all the time. But my parents, being as wise as they were, they responded always with this same statement. Is that something you really need, or is that something you really
want?
Oh. Want, yes.
It's something
it's terrible. I hate it. But for me, I always seem to need the newest iPod that Apple was coming out with. So back then, I don't know if you guys know this, but back then Apple created these iPods to store and play your music, and that's all you did on these things, okay? That was pretty much it. You know, they were brick-like devices that if you dropped them, it wouldn't break. You could drop it from a 100-story ceiling or 100-story building, and it wouldn't break. These things were unbreakable. But they held your songs and maybe a simple game or two like Snake and not much else. Even though I already had a good MP3 player, I was convinced I needed the latest model of the iPod. But every time I told my mom I needed it, she repeated to me time and time again, is it need or is it want? I heard that all throughout my childhood. See, tonight we're going to talk about our greatest need that each and every one of us have. We have the same greatest need. This isn't just a want. This is truly a need, and it's the deepest one you and I will ever have. It's the need for the forgiveness of our sin, and we're going to see that tonight in the stories that we talk about. So take your Bibles with me and open to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, I'm going to need two readers tonight because we're going to look at two different stories in Mark. We're going to finish chapter 1, and we're going to open up to chapter 2 as well. So Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45, and then Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I won't pick anyone quite yet, but let's pray, and we're going to get started with our evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this awesome opportunity to open up your word and just to learn more about who you are as we look at Jesus and what he has done for us and what he came to do, what his purpose was here on earth, which was, as we learned last week, which was to purchase and proclaim the good news of the gospel. We thank you for him and for just his example and what he did for us here on earth. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, tonight our big idea is this. It's on the screen for you. It's this. Jesus has come to be our greatest gift. Jesus has come to be our greatest gift, our Savior, for our greatest need, which is forgiveness. Jesus has come to be our greatest gift, which is our Savior, for our greatest need, which is forgiveness. So our greatest need is forgiveness. Jesus is our greatest gift as he is our Savior. So one of the reasons why I love the Gospel of Mark so much is because in this fast-paced narrative, you see, Mark wants you and I to know who Jesus is. And he goes on to explain why you and I should follow him. And that's exactly what we're going to see tonight in the passage here in Mark 1 and Mark 2. See, last week we saw Jesus proclaim his purpose here on earth. Which, what was his purpose in coming to earth? We talked about it last week. It was our main point from last week. I'll give candy for whoever gets it. It was our main point from last week. It's a blue one, too. What was our main point from last week? Jesus' purpose here on earth.
The power of the king?
No. What was his purpose? It's two P's. His purpose was to... Yes, Josh?
His purpose was to purchase and proclaim the gospel.
Purchase and proclaim the gospel. Yes, awesome. Purchase and proclaim the gospel. That's why Jesus came. He came to preach that the kingdom of God was at hand and to usher in that very kingdom, beginning with his sacrificial death on the cross. See, tonight we're going to learn about our greatest need, which is taken care of by our greatest gift in our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the first point tonight that I want you guys to understand, which is the first story that we'll learn, is the compassion of the Savior. The compassion of the Savior. We're going to learn just two simple points tonight about Jesus. First one is that he is a compassionate Savior. Can I have a girl read for us verses 40 through 45 in chapter 1. Let's see. I will do, everyone's hand is raised. I'll do Adelaide in the back. Nice and loud, if you can stand for us, Adelaide. And read nice and loud, 40 through 45.
And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter.
Awesome. Here you go, Adelaide. Ooh. Here we go. Ready? Oh! Sorry. All right. The compassionate Savior is what we learn here in this story. Just a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this. Hopefully you do. It was global. We all experienced something in the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you remember that? A time you will probably never soon forget, or you probably will never soon forget. See, COVID-19, if you remember, it was a highly contagious respiratory disease that spread rapidly. How many of you got sick from COVID? Okay, you couldn't taste, you couldn't smell, right? I got it too, and I probably got it more than once because I was sick all the time, it seemed like, during that period of time. You see, in some states, if you became sick, you had to report it to the health department, and it listed all the recent places that you had been to help track the spread. See, then you had to quarantine yourself for about 2 weeks, I think it was. But this was a surreal time in history, and one day you'll probably be telling your grandkids about living through it, just as my grandparents told me about living through world wars. You'll be telling your grandparents that you lived through the COVID pandemic, where you wore masks every day, where you were signing in at restaurants, your name and your phone number, or the really all the challenges that we faced on a daily basis that we had to adapt to. See, this is oddly similar to what the leper in the time of Jesus had to deal with, okay? Just like in the COVID pandemic that you had to stay a certain distance from people. How many feet could you stay?
Six feet.
You had to quarantine yourself for 2 weeks. You had to report, you know, that you were sick with COVID-19. The same thing was happening with people with leprosy back then. Okay, they had to announce, "Hey, unclean, unclean." They had to report this to people. They had to stay within a certain distance from other people. Leviticus talks about the exact distance that they had to stay, whether that was downwind from someone or whether that was upwind from someone. There was a certain distance for both areas. And then you also had to stay, you had to quarantine yourself away from the rest of civilization. See, leprosy, it was a severely contagious skin disease that was a threat to one's limbs and eventually was a threat to the person's life. You see, this leprosy that people got because of touch from other people with leprosy, really it was a disease that really took your skin off. It just rotted your flesh. It was disgusting. You probably smelled. You looked like you were dying, which you were dying. It was a very serious disease. See, in Leviticus 13 and 14, we learn all that we need to know about leprosy and how someone who gets it has to live with it. It's pretty much gives us the rules and regulations to how one lives with leprosy. Okay, and I want to read to you just a little bit of these rules and regulations in Leviticus 13, verse 1. It says this: "The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'When a person has on the skin of his body is swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of the sons of the priest. And the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin and his body, and if the hair in the diseased area has turned white and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. But if the spot is white in the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person for 7 days. So they have to quarantine no matter what. Okay, they either have to go outside the city limits until they're healed, or if the disease is mild, they have to be shut up for 7 days. Okay, listen to this one. This is a funny rule of leprosy. And this one goes out to all my bald friends. It says this in verse 40 of chapter 30. It says, if a man's hair falls out from his head, he is bald. Well, yes, and he is clean. Because as leprosy went, when you got leprosy, you had to grow your hair out. So really, you were distinguished from the rest of humanity as a leper. Okay, so back to leprosy and a little bit more about it. Listen to how a leprous person shall carry himself. This is verse 45 and 46 of Leviticus 13. It says, it's the leprous person who has the disease, who's contracted the disease, shall wear torn clothes and let his hair, like I just said, let his hair of his head hang loose. It should be long hair. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. He shall isolate himself. His dwelling place shall be outside the camp. Guys, this is the worst part of this disease, leprosy, okay? The shame that comes with this disease is worse than the actual disease itself, okay? These people who were lepers had to continually announce themselves when they came in contact with someone as unclean, unclean, even though as an Israelite, they were trying to live clean, righteous, holy lives unto the Lord. They had to announce themselves as unclean. They had to quarantine themselves from the rest of civilization. They lived in these camps far outside the city limits so that no one would come in contact with them. They didn't have to interact with anyone because how far they lived outside the city limits. And really, they didn't want to because of the humiliating fact of what was happening to them. They smelled. Okay, their clothes had to be torn. They had to wear their hair nasty and gross. They had to do all these things. It was humiliating. This was the most feared disease in the entire land. Not just because it was a deadly disease in which you could lose your limbs or you could lose your life, but that you lost your entire community. You lost your friends. You lost your family. It was a social death sentence is what this disease was causing people. See, so for this man with leprosy to approach Jesus, it was completely unheard of. The passage says at the beginning, and the leper came to Jesus. He came to him. It was completely unheard of a leper approaching someone. It would have shocked everyone that Jesus was with because lepers did not do this. They didn't approach people. They stayed isolated from people. But the leper here, he came to Jesus in faith because he knew that Jesus had the power to make him clean. This man's faith is remarkable because every Jew knew that only God had the power to heal the person of leprosy. So what the leper is declaring here is that Jesus is God. And because of that, he has the power to heal me. That's what the leper is saying here when he comes to Jesus. What a statement of faith. Now, I'm not saying that his faith was a saving faith because we see later on in the story him disobey Jesus. And what comes with faith is usually obedience. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying either way because he may have been an immature believer. But anyway, it was a statement of faith here to come to Jesus. See, instead of moving quickly from this leprous man with this deadly disease, Jesus moved in. It says there in verse 41, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and he touched him and said to him, I will cleanse you. Be clean. He stepped in with compassion. He moved in with compassion and he healed this man. So put yourself in the leper's shoes here for a second. This man had been isolated for probably some years. Okay, he had been isolated because of the social death of a disease that this was that he was dealing with. He had probably gone years without seeing loved ones. He had probably gone years without even touching or hugging his loved ones. Yet Jesus here moves in instead of running away like everyone else probably did. Jesus moves in and he touches him, which is probably the first human touch this man had received in years. And it was the compassionate, loving touch of his Savior. I mean, Jesus could have healed him, right, with one word. We've seen that time and time again, that Jesus says one word and he heals, or says one word and he creates. But here Jesus knew that the touch from the Savior would mean so much more. We see the compassion of our Savior here. See, after the touch of our compassionate Savior, the man is immediately healed from his leprosy. Jesus cleansed the man of his uncleanness. And immediately after healing the leper, Jesus charges him not to say a word. He says, don't say a word to anyone, because the passage goes on to say later that Jesus could, because of this, Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. This man offered, or Jesus offered these commands to not speak of his healing to anyone in order to not overwhelm Jesus when Jesus would enter into cities in order to be about his purpose that we learned last week, which was to preach and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. That's why Jesus said this. He said, you know, I want to be about my purpose. I don't want other people to go around and talking about my healing ministry, because that's not my main purpose. My main purpose is to preach the good news of the gospel. That's my purpose. So I want to be able to do that freely. But if you go around spreading this, I won't. People will come to me left and right for healing. So Jesus says, be silent. Don't say anything to anyone. But he says something interesting. He says, go show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded, for proof to them. In Leviticus 13, 14, it talks about this, where in order to be fully cleansed, you had to go show yourself to a priest and show proof that you are actually cleansed. So the leper really goes to the priest and really shows him that, hey, I'm clean, I'm cleansed. And the priest welcomes him back into society. And so it's interesting here, because Jesus and the leper effectively have switched places. See, the leper who showed himself to the priest was welcomed back into society after proving that he is cleansed from this deadly disease. But Jesus, because this man spoke out and began to tell people what Jesus had done for him, Jesus was left on the outskirts of the city. This points to the fact that our compassionate Savior has also ultimately switched places with you and I. See, Jesus willingly took on our sin. He took on our shame when he went to the cross so that we could be spiritually healed. We could be saved. We could be brought back into a right relationship with God, just like Adam and Eve were in the garden before sin. See, just like the leper who was once isolated and separated from everyone else, we are separated from God because of our sin. Our sin is what separates us from a holy God. But Jesus, in his compassion, took that separation between man and God, and he took it upon himself on the cross of Calvary, bearing the penalty that you and I deserve because of our sin, so that you and I could be restored in that right relationship with God. See, think about that compassion for a moment from our Savior. Just as Jesus touched the man with leprosy, even though he was considered untouchable, and if someone touched him, that disease would be transferred over to the other person as well. See, Jesus doesn't hesitate to reach out to you and to me. No matter how broken, how sinful, how unclean you may be or you may feel, Jesus sees you, he knows you, and he's continually reaching out to you. He's standing at the door knocking. He's reaching out to you with love, with mercy, with compassion, and he's offering you forgiveness of sins. Your greatest need, as we're going to learn in this next story. So when you feel isolated, when you feel ashamed, when you feel distant from God because of your sin, remember that Jesus has already come near to you. He's already come to you, offering you these things. He's waiting to heal and restore you because, guys, you are worth it to him. So how will you respond to this great compassion from our Savior? Will you be like the leper who comes to him in faith, knowing that he can save you, knowing that he can cleanse you, trusting in his power to forgive and make you clean? If you have been cleansed, if you have been changed by Jesus, then the next question remains, how can you stay silent? See, the leper, I don't want to point to his example because he did it in disobedience to the Lord, but the leper couldn't stay silent. He couldn't keep quiet after he was healed. See, we could, because we're not doing it in disobedience, we should feel this urgency to share what Jesus has done for us. We shouldn't stay silent. You see, sometimes in our West County, St. Louis, we just get too comfortable in this world that we live in. But we need to remember, Jesus took on our sin and its shame. He gave us new life. Guys, this is worth sharing to a lost and dying world, a world that is isolated without Christ, a world that is dying without Christ. Think about someone in your own life who needs to hear about the hope that you have found in Christ. Don't let that fear or comfort hold you back. Trust that Jesus will work through you to reach those around you. So we see the compassion of our Savior. We are 2 minutes left, and I don't want to get into the next verses, even though we could do it in five minutes, but I don't want to run out of time. So let's pray, and we'll cover chapter 2, 1 through 12 next week. I'll give you the note for it, okay? So the compassion of the Savior, but number 2 is the forgiveness of the Savior. So those are the two lessons we'll learn in these two verses, or two passages. Compassion of the Savior, forgiveness of the Savior. And we'll talk about that, which is your greatest need. We'll talk about that next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this awesome opportunity to open up your word, to learn more about you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are a compassionate Savior, that you have come to earth, that you have taken our sin and taken our shame, and you've nailed it to the cross. Lord, that you have saved us, you've changed us, you've made us clean. You've restored our relationship with God. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness as well. And that our greatest need is met by our greatest gift. I thank you for this time just to study your word, to learn more about what you have done for us. And it's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. You guys are dismissed.